You are listening to episode number 181 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to yet another fun and delicious and female empowerment episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I am your host, as always, the marvelous Icky, a.k.a. Ben. Iggy, not Icky. I'm not Icky. The marvelous Iggy, a.k.a. Ben, or the other way around. I don't care. That's how I roll. And I am your host for this show. Joining me once again from the man who represents actual calm New Englanders, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back.
It's all okay now. It's all okay now. We beat Cincinnati. It's all okay now.
And joining us represent the hat of Texas, Mr. Jonathan Cartwright. Jonathan, welcome back.
The hat of Texas?
Yes, you are a hat. You are a little... Our little.
I think it's more like Texas is Oklahoma's jockstrap. But then again, who
pretty
am
much, I?
Pretty
much, I agree with that. But
Don't forget, you were once part of Texas. Don't forget that.
Well, you were once part of Mexico, Iggy.
Yeah, and we whooped their asses in the war. What about it? Okay, to be fair, the Mexico army actually kicked the Texan army pretty bad pretty quickly, and the only reason they won was because they kind of ambushed the Mexican army at San Jacinto. So, to be fair, they kind of goaded Santa Ana. They forced them to sign a treaty. Okay, to be fair. Just going to point the facts out, right?
Oh, Lord.
But the U.S. of A. then came in and eventually kicked their asses, so woohoo, America. All right. So, we are, in case this is your first episode for whatever fucking reason, thank you for listening, by the way, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. This is a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel Comics related. That includes the good, bad, and the ugly, because apparently I'm keeping up with the cowboy thing today. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers, even though that is John McClane. I don't know what I'm doing anymore, but we have some news. Brian.
Yeah.
Hit us off with some news, baby.
All right. I guess we'll start with we'll go in light, I suppose, and then we'll start really hammering in the heavy stuff, huh? Oh yeah,
hammering.
I got a feeling John will be playing the role of Taser tonight when we get to the part he is very upset about. But anywho, so there is news that Fox is currently in deep development of a live action X-Men television show, and that's it. That was it. Yeah, that's really it. There's really no other news than that. The supposed news comes out of Bleeding Cool, their sources, who are also the ones that predicted the Supergirl series being put into production over at CBS, are now saying that Fox is currently in planning an X-Men television show. What that will feature as far as X-Men, mutant powers, that sort of thing, there's no real news on that yet, but... this could be an interesting move if they actually do get around to doing an X-Men television show. You know, there's a ton of potential there. I think the X-Men have a more varied universe than I think a lot of franchises do. So there's a lot to use there.
There's
so
a lot of characters.
Yeah,
a lot of characters, just a lot of plot lines, a lot of even just what do you say? I'm trying to think of the right word. There's a lot of, you know. There's a lot of story material. There's also a lot of undertones you can play with, obviously, the political things, the, you know, LGBT, whatever you want to call it, really.
But there's different aspects of the X-Men universe that don't simply revolve around being an X-Man every day-to-day. Heck, yeah. It could just be about the students around day-to-day life and being a mutant on the Xavier campus or some stupid shit like that. I don't know. Go ahead and continue what you were saying, Bri.
No, that was pretty much it. Just, like I said, there's not a lot to report on as far as that goes.
Yeah. This has been Brian from Channel 11. Brian Powers. It actually does sound like a good news report name. But Brian Powers reporting on the scene.
Brian Powers, the Mighty Warriors Marvel
Brian, what do you got for us today at the scene?
Back to you, in the, back to you, Miggy.
In the studio. But, you know, I think it could be cool. You know, they'd have to connect to the X-Men somehow. You know, the person or the team has to be connected.
It'd be connected not to the X-Men. I mean, with the amount of stuff they could cover in a TV show linked to the movies and such, it would be a huge thing to do.
Well, I mean, yeah. I'm more concerned about budget just because we've seen what budgets on for superhero movie shows can
be.
Although The Flash looks really good. So, who knows?
I still have yet to see that.
Tomorrow night's the debut.
Starts tomorrow.
Yep. So it all depends on that. It all depends on who they use and what the premise is. Personally, I wouldn't. This is outlandish and it won't happen. But I would love to see the X Factor that Peter David did, where basically it was Madrix opening up a mutant detective agency. That is just another cop procedural show on television, but the fact that it's centered on mutant crime and that kind of stuff, I think it could be interesting enough, and you have interesting, like a very simple power in the Madrix's multiple man power.
You know what? Call me crazy, but they could pull a Wire where it's just a different rotating, you know, cast and themes every single season. They could do X-Factor one season, and then they could do Generation X, or they could do X-Force, or they could
That'd be cool.
You know, the New Mutants, they could do all of this different shit, keep it fresh and rotating, never really focus on one thing for too long.
Yeah, the thing about that is that people will want consistency, and I think that's the only thing that could hang up on it, is if they don't do that. Especially with something like the X-Men, people will expect the same cast of characters over, maybe not over and over again, but the same theme. So I think that could hurt it just because it's a nice idea, but only because it's not the X-Men. So
yeah.
But I want the Madrix Detective Agency with Siren, daughter of Banshee.
Who was shafted in Days of Future Past? Okay,
she was in
there.
Don't
even.
Oh, Banshee, not Siren.
Okay. No. Although she was in X-Men 2, so
she was
for like 5 seconds when the soldiers busted in. That was supposed to be Siren. Yeah.
Huh. I never knew that. Hmm.
Nobody knew that.
I thought it was just a random mutant who could scream. Huh, who knew? But, I don't know what else they could do. I think the in terms of getting people interested, if Gotham has proved anything, is that a cop one wouldn't be bad. Granted, again, it's another cop show, but I'm a sucker for cop shows and a procedural show, so give me that. Give me and it's a simple power. They're, like, Wolfsbane wouldn't be that hard to do. Who isn't Richter part of the team?
Yes, he is.
So, you know, I don't know what is his power? I don't even know.
Earthquake.
Okay, so like that wouldn't even that hard to do, you know? Like he could control it or something. Like that's what I would do.
Just shaky cam. Shaky cam. There you go. He's making the earthquake. Oh, no.
No. And do the stereotypical Power Rangers fall down dramatic, like, oh. So, John, what do you think about this potential X-Men thing?
As long as they're not, you know, as long as they don't get into the, we got to keep it tied into the movies and bring people in and, you know, maybe do a, you know, like you said, a New Mutants or something like that. I could see that. I would actually like that because those were my favorite group of the mutants before they became X-Force. And I'm not trashing X-Force in any way, shape or form. But they were the ones that got me into X-Men and I would love to see them do them on TV or the, as a cop show, investigating in mutant crimes and stuff. That would be a cool premise as well. But we'll just have to wait and see what they do and what kind of budget it might get and how that goes. So about all I can do is just to say wait and see. I still have higher opinions and optimism for that than the shit-tastic movie that we were going to be talking about here in just a few minutes.
Well, so. The X-Men clearly have the momentum on this one. So, Brian, do you have any ideas? Go ahead. No, continue with your thought.
No, I was just going to say, as far as non-MCU related movie franchises go, X-Men probably has the most potential out of all of them.
It doesn't need to use the main X-Men, the characters in the movie for it to be considered the X-Men.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, and granted, it helps, but like maybe like a guest appearance from, Hugh Jackman or,
yeah.
what's the other guy's name?
If Hugh Jackman can star in a shitty musical murder mystery drama about a casino owner that he played, I think he can make a stop off.
Les Mis?
No, not Les Mis.
Not Les Mis. I still haven't seen that movie. I do want to see that movie, though.
It wasn't that great.
You don't like
I see it all the time because my daughter...
Well, first of all, I will say that to their credit, they did a wonderful job of scaling it down to a decent time frame. It's still long as shit, but it does better than most theatrical adaptions. But Russell Crowe was just awful. So not even against Hugh Jackman. He plays his heart and soul.
I'll have to see the Russell Crowe factor.
Russell Crowe as Javert was just not the right choice. But that's not... I'm
how
not
do you
even...
Okay, one, apparently Brian's a theater nut behind our backs, and we didn't know.
The term is theater queer. We're here. We're fabulous. Get used to us, etc.
Hey, okay, I've been doing that for years, honey, so don't go there.
Okay.
All right, so let's move on. Let's move on.
So bye. Let's bring the house down with some shitty news. Boys and girls, pull your chairs closer. I'm going to tell you a story. This story is about the Fantastic Four.
Is it about how my life got turned upside down?
A little bit, yeah. Something like that.
Is my aunt, am I going to get a little fight? And is my aunt going to move me out to Bel Air?
Just shut up and let me talk.
Oh, come on.
Okay.
Let me have my fresh. Bel Air reference. What?
I'm gonna throw you out the front door. You keep talking.
Oh, keep thinking that, boss man.
Anywho, I'm gonna tell you the story, and it takes place over the course of the last week, and it pertains to the Fantastic Four. For those of you who don't know, the Fantastic Four are having a reboot come up pretty soon, starring among others Miles Teller, Michael B. Jordan. I believe it's Kate Mara.
Who's playing
and also,
I can't call her by my adorable nickname without spoiling card. I was gonna say Game of Cards, but that's mixing House of Cards.
Okay.
I was gonna say Game of Cards. Game of
Thank
Thrones.
You for that reference that went nowhere.
Well, if I did, it would ruin it. And the point is,
well, thank you.
Watch
for
Game of Cards. I mean, House of Cards. Shut up. Go on.
So. The story begins on September 30th, where in an interview with Miles Teller, who was playing Reed Richards, is posted. It was via Newsarama. And he went on to say that the Fantastic Four reboot is avoiding the, quote, kitschy, overly comic book world, end quote. Okay. He went on to say the tone of the film is completely different. We don't have Michael Chiklis in a big styrofoam thing, and I think that a more grounded approach is what people are into. And just wanted to say a lot of the same as far as that regard went. The next part comes on October 3rd, a few days later, wherein an interview was posted with Michael B. Jordan, who was saying that the costumes for Fantastic Four aren't, quote, cheesy superhero outfits, end quote. They were supposedly a more modern, new, fresh, without going to the cheesy superhero outfits. We didn't take the easy way out at all, so I don't mind it so much. There wasn't a lot of elaboration on that until a few days later. In fact, today, when Michael B. Jordan went on to compare the suits to, quote, containment suits, end quote, and saying that it is a gritty film. And also, intermittently, there was a bit of Marvel Entertainment news. Well, not Marvel Entertainment, Marvel Comics news, I suppose, wherein there was a series of... news coming out of Marvel Comics where, one, a fan was asked what they was going to be doing for any Fantastic Four Marvel Select figures, and the man behind the question, the interview thing, responded that right now we are not able to make characters from the Fantastic Four, but as soon as that changes, we will consider them. And then that was followed up by news that the Fantastic Four title, currently being written by James Robertson and illustrated by Leonard Kirk, will be ended in... I believe it's June? Yes, June of 2015. Triple Size issue number 645 for Fantastic Forever. F-O-U-R-E-V-E-R. And then that would close out the Fantastic Four book for the time being. So a deluge of Fantastic Four news, all of it pointing in the direction that it is a poor, piss-poor time to be a Fantastic Four fan.
Wait, you mean there are actually Fantastic Four fans?
In fact,
I'm sitting right here.
One right now, Iggy.
Oh.
Hey, John, why don't you take this one, buddy?
Can you feel the burn?
Mm-hmm.
John, yeah. Take the lead on this one.
No, hold on, hold on, hold on, real quick. Brian, can you do me your best impersonation in the cage of him saying, can you feel the burn? Do it.
Can you feel the burn?
And now, John, you can take center stage.
Can you feel the burn?
Okay, the only thing I will say positive about the new Fantastic Four reboot is you got every Klansman's dream in the Human Torch. And worst nightmare, if you think about it. I'm not going to get into details.
God damn it, John.
Hey, Taser's not here. I got to take his place. But the more I see of this, the more I just want to. Oh, yeah, they're gonna wind up putting a restraining order on me, even though they don't know who the fuck I am, because I'm about to turn into one of those.
Who's this camera, John? Yeah. Fellow, and why? Yes, I'm
about to turn into one of those internet morons that wants to say I'm going to kill you, kill you, kill you. Not that I would, because that's kind of stupid, you know.
You got a life and kids to think about, John boy.
That I do, and I've
sure they'd help you load the ammo, so there's that.
Oh yeah, well they probably would like the new movie, but the whole thing with it being a black Johnny Storm and all that didn't even bother me. It's just now that we're hearing, oh, it's going to be containment suits and it's not going to be cheesy, superhero, and I'm like, then why the hell are you making a book, movie based on a comic book movie? Your comic book franchise. And by the way, y'all obviously don't know what the hell you're talking about, because the Fantastic Four costumes, when done right, aren't cheesy. They can actually are one of the few costumes like Spider-Man or...
I did like the movie costumes from the first.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They just took a little bit of minor alterations and they looked good. And I just... It's just like they're...
Unstable,
it's almost
molecules.
Like, yeah. And I'm getting unstable on this, but it just doesn't help. It just seems like they're almost ashamed that they're making this movie. And I'm like, then why the hell are you doing it? If you're making a movie, and you're calling it the Fantastic Four, but yet you're, from what you're saying, it's not going to be.
I bet you don't even call it that. I bet you they call it F4 or something.
Yeah, they're going to probably do that, or they're going to be the Fabulous Family, or something like that.
No, I think they'll just call it FF or F4 or something.
Yeah.
They'll call it Fantastic Four.
It just, the more I see this shit pile that's coming, I just, no. It's going to be a train wreck. It's going to be a shit pile. It's going to be, pile upon pile.
It's
going to
be the most adored film of 2015.
I'll be Taser like he was with Guardians of the Galaxy with this movie.
If this movie is by some miracle actually good, I'll be shocked. Shocked,
yeah.
I say.
If it's good, it won't be from our the people from like our beginnings. It'll be people who don't comics and don't have that connection.
Well, hey,
with the Fantastic Four.
That is perfectly fine, but I am more than willing to be proven wrong too. I was proven wrong. Remember when we all said First Class was going to suck balls?
Yeah, yeah.
And well, I had higher hopes for First Class when we first started hearing stuff about that than I do about this one. The more I'm hearing, it's meh, and I'm just. Like, ugh. And then on that whole ending of the Fantastic Four title, and they're not talking of a potential relaunch or anything.
It's just gonna go no Fantastic Four on the
screen. I'm gonna presume, and I hope that you know how you've been saying your theory about how Marvel is setting stuff up for a potential crisis of their own, when you're saying you saw various things in various titles. This better be the way they're gonna start doing that, because otherwise it's like Marvel without the Fantastic Four being published is just wrong, because they were the first title they did that launched their modern universe, and that's just a slap in the face. And I just it's just, the more I hear, the more I see of it, I just I want to put the red ring of rage on and fly and burn everybody involved. And this is saying something, because I'm a big fan of Kate Mara. I've loved her in everything I've seen her in so far. And when I get a chance, I plan on sitting down and watching House of Cards. And
she's really good in it.
Yeah. And again, the talent.
Kevin Spacey for Mr. Fantastic. That would have been a much better choice.
Yeah, but the cast I've seen. I mean, I'm not familiar with most of their work.
They're all young, up-and-comer actors. They're like in... Yeah. They do movies like for that 15 to 21-year-old audience. That's
and I've heard they're good, and I've heard that they've got talent and stuff, but I just... Oh, it's just
Michael
not...
Michael B. Jordan constantly gets played as the black kid who gets shot.
Well, that's about right for most of the
Didn't he though. Just come off of a movie where, in fact, he played a black kid that got shot by the police?
I'm pretty sure he did. I think it was like Fruitvale Station.
Yeah, that was it.
About the real life incident. Yeah. So it's like, well, maybe this will break him out of the typecast.
Well, hey, according to this movie, Sue Storm is the adopted one, not Johnny Storm.
Oh, yeah, because progressiveness.
Yeah, I mentioned that to my wife today. She, you know, I said, yeah, Human Torch is going to be black, and she's like, okay, then how? And then I said, yeah, and the Invisible Girl, Invisible Woman's going to be white, and she's like, okay, then how are they brother and sister adoption? You know, she's adopted. She's like, oh, okay.
But otherwise, the skin tone would have been like, she would have been either he would have been a little bit lighter, or she would have been a little bit darker.
Yeah, would have had to bend to that So Raven thing, but it just anyway, it just. Like I said, the more I hear about it, the less, you know, I was even thinking about, you know, actually looking up, you know, looking and finding Chronicle to watch, just because I know this guy
this
did that.
This is only one movie. That
yeah, I know. And
plus, he dies about halfway through.
It just
spoilers.
Yeah, thank you, asshole.
Damn it!
But, you're welcome.
That's okay. I expect that from a guy from Boston. But anyway.
That's mean. What did I ever do to you besides spoil a movie for you just now?
I don't know. I just had to be. I have to be Taser, but a white Taser nonetheless. But you know, just call me VT Vanilla Taser. But
Vanilla Taser.
Yep. But yeah. But to cap it off, I'm gonna be like what Taser was with Guardians of the Galaxy when we started hearing rumors of that movie and stuff coming up, and. Unless they can pull their asses together and they actually surprise the hell out of me, I'm going to be like, nope, and not touching it with a 10-foot pole. And that's all I'm going to say on it. And I mean, I'll be ragging it out on Facebook and Twitter as much as I can. And it's one of the few times I'll be the typical bitchy internet, you know, user. So that's all I got to say on it. I need to keep my blood pressure down.
Probably a good move.
Yeah.
When it happens, it's a shame. And again, I'm not a reader of the Fantastic Four. But despite that I'm not a reader, it doesn't make me not a fan. Or I don't understand the importance of the legacy that is Stan and Jack. You know, like as John said, we wouldn't have a modern Marvel universe without them. I mean, everybody knows the story where Stan was told, hey, you see that Justice League book? Do that. And he couldn't figure it out with the characters he had, so he just made new things and did whatever he wanted. Thus, the Marvel universe was just born. And, you know, that legendary, 103 issues that they did together? Run together?
Yeah, give or take, yeah.
You know, depending on annuals and probably missing issues in between that. You know, a lot of the tropes we know are birthed from that. And even though I would read the book on and off again, the fact that I knew it was there and I could flip through and there's the Fantastic Four and I knew who they were and their significance in Marvel history, you know, as much as the X-Men are more popular, or definitely at least recently the Avengers are more popular and Spider-Man's more popular, the Fantastic Four, you know, defines legacy. They are the reason we are – at least a lot of us, whether you know it or not, started reading Marvel Comics was because of that initial spark. You wouldn't have books like Spider-Man, the X-Men, Iron Man, Captain America, obviously, was before. But, you know, Hulk, you know, obviously before the Fantastic Four, they were always first, they always will be first. And it's a shame that they, because of basically bullshit politics between studios, that a book like this has to go away. Now, is it... a good play devil's advocate, if the book was selling, say, as big as X-Men, I don't think it would have been touched.
Yeah, it wouldn't have.
But because it doesn't, and it has latched readership, and because it's certainly not a hot book, at least not a hot book since Hickman left the book, you know, obviously that was the high point. You know, that's at least as of this point, that's going to be the last big thing to a lot of Fantastic Four fans. You know, that last big epic story that he did. But, you know, it's a shame, but, you know, I will say this. I have a feeling sooner or later they'll be back, and they'll be back stronger than ever, and hopefully they won't look like the movie versions.
Oh, good God, they better not.
So I'll say that.
Oh,
but
no.
If it is this damn... If they do have to go away, well, there's not much we can do, and I'm sorry if you're a Fantastic Four fan. This is just powers. The powers that be have decided the Fantastic Four have no place in the Marvel Universe, and that's a sad shame.
Mm-hmm.
God, I feel like I'm giving a eulogy, and it's not right. So let's move on to happier news, please.
Happiness.
So, guess who's getting her own ongoing?
Doctor Strange. Wait, no, that's a man. Let's see. Can I guess? Medusa? Medusa?
No.
X-23.
No.
No.
Mystique?
No.
Squirrel Girl?
Squirrel Girl!
You got it, buddy.
Launching in January, written by Ryan North and illustrated by Erica Henderson, it is the unbeatable Squirrel Girl ongoing series.
Until it gets canceled.
Well, every ongoing is not going until it gets canceled.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
It's got a point.
So that'll be launching in January, and, well, I mean, it's Squirrel Girl. What could really be said except for the fact that she's Squirrel Girl, you know? But apparently, the announcement states that the series will follow Luke Cage's former nanny as she heads off to college for a whole new set of adventures, and she is the first Marvel character to get the adjective unbeatable in the title. So, yeah.
I'd say she defeated Thanos.
And Dr. Doom. And she kicked Wolverine. Mm-hmm. And she had relations with Wolverine at some point.
And kicked his ass, too.
Yeah.
And made him smile, too.
What got in these people's heads that they decided to make Squirrel Girl the uncontested champion of the Marvel Universe?
They're secret furries.
Oh, God. Because,
okay, let's not kid ourselves. Okay, let's just put it out there. This is the elephant in the room. Squirrel Girl is a character that... I doubt this is true intention, but come on. Furries graft to her. She's obviously furry inspired. Whether through the own artists, the creation's own like experiences, or something they thought would be funny. Now, the thing is, it would have been better if they had launched this book when Bendis was doing New Avengers, when she was on the team, and people were actually talking about Squirrel Girl. I'm not going to touch it. I have no interest in Squirrel Girl and her solo adventures. Maybe it was like a fun miniseries, and it was quirky enough, and, it has to stick out. But I don't know who these people are. I have to look at the art. I have to see what the story is.
I demand a crossover with the Great Lakes Avengers. Damn it. My Great Lakes Avengers.
Isn't that where she showed up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That was her old team. She dumped up for Luke Cage.
I'm pretty sure they should at least play a factor into it somehow. Wasn't Deadpool part of that?
Yes, for a time he was.
Okay, so... All right, I don't know. I don't have a say on it. I think if you are into it, I guess like it.
Say if you like furries, you'll like it.
Probably,
yeah.
Because far as Iggy is concerned, nobody can like her without being a furry.
No, I'm just saying she's very furry. Her design is very furry inspired. Come on, look at her. Just look at her. Is she a space squirrel at least? I don't even know much about her.
No, she's not a space squirrel. She's just a squirrel girl.
She's just a girl. So does she have squirrel parts, or she is actual squirrel?
She has a tail. I'm not sure if that's part of the costume, though, or if that's actually just hers.
Okay,
because
if it's part of her, okay, if it's actually her, then it's not a furry. But if she's dressing up like a squirrel, then it's part furry. Then again, Spider-Man be considered to be a furry, too. So technically, if you dress up as any animal, you're a furry. And you have... Does Spider-Man have sex in his costume?
Probably has.
This has been The More You Know.
So are you guys going to read it? I'm not going to read it. I'm sorry.
I'm going to check out the first issue. I probably won't buy it. I'll read it off the shelf.
I will check it out just for shits and grins, just to see what the hubbub will be.
Any series featuring her being written by the same people who dive into the insanity that is Adventure Time deserves a little bit of attention.
Is that who's writing it?
Yeah, the writer worked on the Adventure Time comic book series while it's still coming out. So, you know.
All right. Now, if you're a Squirrel Girl fan, I apologize for the furry jokes, but it's whatever. It's an easy joke.
I think Tage is a Squirrel Girl fan, so...
Well, furries. I don't know what to say about it. I'm not going to pick it up. It is another, female lead for Marvel, so there's a lot of that going around, which is interesting, which is great in my opinion. I love it. More females, the better. But who knows? Let's see how long this lasts. I hope it lasts more than 4 issues, because it's Squirrel Girl. I mean, come on. If freaking X-Factor can't hold its book for a few months, well, what can Squirrel Girl do? But we'll see. Maybe there's enough of a cult fan following that will actually buy the book. Let us know in the comments if you're going to buy Squirrel Girl.
Sure. And hey, Iggy, speaking of female-led books, what's our book of the week this week?
Grab your hammers, people. It's time for a mantle change. As Thor, number one, is our book of the week. The much anticipated and, to some, highly controversial Thor number one. Obviously, hot off the trails. I'm surprised this doesn't have a original Sin Aftermath banner on it. They used to do those. After the fallout of Original Sin, we learn that, well, we didn't learn, but Thor has become, somehow, by a whisper of Nick Fury, that he is unworthy. And we don't know why. And so this issue basically opens up with, I believe it's Roxxon Corporation, sort of drilling underwater, which evil corporations in oil. And all of us, it seems that frost giants are somehow at the bottom of the did they say what trench it was?
No
Regency. They're in the,
yeah,
so they're at the,
which I guess makes sense when you think about it.
I was going to say the Marianas Trench, but it makes sense. Yeah, you're right. It makes sense better if it was at the. So, that's the opening cold opening, and the issue opens up with a helpless Thor sitting with Odin, who apparently has been gone this entire time, just like been away. I had no
idea. Well, yeah, he was gone at the end of Fear Itself because he was watching over.
I thought he came back eventually.
I don't know. That's just as far as I know. That's what he went to Asgard proper and was watching over the dead body of his brother, yada yada.
Yeah, so basically Odin comes up and he sees that his son has become unworthy, and, you know, and Thor has basically become like a sort of crying child who can't do anything and throwing temper tantrums because he can't lift his
hammer! Move, hammer! Please, we all do!
And Odin is sort of like going old school Wrath of God dad on him. He's like, the fuck do you mean you can't lift it up? Be a man, motherfucker, be a man!
The fuck's wrong with you?
You can be a man! Yeah.
Be a man! With
high five!
Yeah! That's the theme song. That's it.
Odin basically says, all right, look. You're obviously not man enough. I'm the All-Father. I got this. And Odin himself, the creator, did he create it?
Yeah, he if he didn't forge it himself, he certainly oversaw its creation.
Okay, so the overseer of Mjolnir, of the Uru hammer, could not lift up the hammer. So he is not worthy. And meanwhile, his ravens, Hugin and Munin, I had no idea they had names. Great Odin's raven have alerted Odin that the Jotunheimers, a.k.a. the Frost Giants, have attacked Midgard. And for some reason, Odin says damn, and that just irks me a little bit. Maybe he learned how to speak Earthling or Midgardian. I don't know. And so Thor, being the guy who he is, decides, I'm going to meet this challenge and going to the Hall of Weapons and like, but hey, motherfucker, you can't fly. He doesn't listen. So they're left wondering, well, like, who's going to be worthy? And meanwhile, we've had Freya.
Okay. It's pronounced Freya, yeah.
Okay, I've been calling you, like, from Flash Gordon, the planet Freya.
Yeah.
Freya has been apparently the All Mother, and she has no intention of relinquishing her power, and she's basically telling Odin, like, maybe you're kind of being an asshole dad isn't the best way to approach. And just as everybody gives up on lifting the hammer, now it kind of alludes to that Freya.
You're saying it right, don't worry.
Has thinking about maybe we do need a Thor. So that's the last time we see her. And all of a sudden, oh, look, Malekith is back. He's escaped his prison somehow. I don't even remember how. Did they show how? I don't care.
Yeah, that was a whole thing. He's now the
trade. I didn't read the trade. I'm reading in trade. Hold on.
So do you want to know or don't
you? No, I don't want to know yet. I'll find out. I found out a couple months.
Oh, my God.
So in glorious fashion, is that Tooth Gnasher or is that – which one does he write?
It's Tooth Grinder or Tooth Gnasher. It's one or the other.
Yeah, okay. He's writing one of the goats into battle against
– because he's Thor. Fuck you.
Yeah, and using one of the axes he has. He basically looks like a young Thor from Jason Aaron's first arc. With the cape flowing like that and the no shirt.
Yeah, yeah. He's kind of regressed a little bit. He's wielding Yarnbjorn again.
No, that's not Yarnbjorn. He wouldn't be stupid enough to wear Yarnbjorn.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure that's not. No, because Yarnbjorn's a much larger, longer,
All right.
That is not.
I just assumed. I mean, there's only so many axes in the whole.
I'm pretty sure he has more than one axe called Yarnbjorn. So.
Do you, though?
Yeah.
I think there's more than one hammer called Mjolnir.
Well, to be fair, that hammer was the
only
one.
Well, to be fair, shut up.
Shut up. I'm pretty sure he has more hammers. So, the issue ends with Thor being plummeted into a deep, deep water trench, which, by the way...
After having his arm cut off.
Did he have an arm cut off?
Yeah, it came off.
Surrey Bobcat.
Yeah, that was gruesome as fuck. It ends with a person clad in black. You don't see it. Whispering, there always must be a Thor, grabs the hammer, and it lights up, and instead of he must be worthy, it says, if she be worthy, shall possess the power of Thor, and the last page is this unknown woman holding up Mjolnir in full glory.
But I think we all know who it really is.
Okay, one, before we get into that, I will say this. One, where the hell has Russell Dauterman been my entire life?
Holy shit, I know,
dude,
right?
What the hell did
this
you...
This was a very pretty book. Even having to compete with Asad Ribic.
Jesus. Who was,
yeah.
It was so pretty. I was not... Like, I knew he won me over with that first double-page spread of the Frost Giants coming out in underwater.
Yeah.
And attacking the... Like, holy crap. Like, you know, Granny, he had to do a lot of, you know, like, dialogue. But there's so... Like... It's a mix between some panels will have a lot of detail, some won't, but it still looks amazing across the board. It feels like every single page was taken a tremendous amount of time to do. It looks really good. Where the fuck has he been? Has he been on a book?
I don't know. None that I can think of.
I'll do a quick background search on him.
But and that last page is like iconic. Like I want that to be the cover, you know. Like that to me was the bigger thing. Like I was a little surprised that we, you know, obviously I call it a red herring that Freya is the woman to wield the hammer. I don't think she is. I think Freya found somebody who's worthy. I don't think it's Freya. I think that's what everybody thinks, but I don't think it's Freya. But as an issue of itself, as an introductory, I thought it was entertaining. I think the big showcase was Russell.
Oh, he's on the Cyclops solo series.
What?
He's doing the Cyclops series.
No fucking way.
That's why I didn't recognize him, because I didn't read that one.
Wow.
Yeah, but before that, he also served as the costume illustrator for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and Captain America the First Avenger.
Well, he already won me over. But he's really good. He's really good.
Hats off to Russell Dauterman for this.
Yeah, one. I think he was a star of this book. I knew
absolutely.
The story was pretty good for what it was. You know, it's supposed to be a mystery, and I don't know how long they're going to drag out who this new female Thor is, who the new Thor is. But I'm in as long as Russell Dauterman's doing pencils. I'm in. His art is gorgeous. Oh my God, I give it a 4 out of 5. Most of that coming from the art. Jesus. You know, that's amazing. John, you're the old school Thor fan. What did you think of this issue?
I was not too happy with it, but it's not because, you know, we have a new Thor and all that, because, you know, I was around with Simonson. We had Beta Ray Bill. We had Thor as a frog. We had Storm as Thor temporarily. And I have no... Yeah. Storm was Thor for a while.
The fuck did that happen?
Back in the mid to late 80s, during when the X-Men were up in Asgard. I would just say, Google it, look it up, and you'll find it. It was doing the something with Loki. I didn't read all of it, you know, at the time, because I was into other stuff as well. But I will agree the art was spectacular in this. I could not really find fault with the art, especially that last pan, you know, last page with, you know, and this should be the cover. My only fault with it is again, like I did with the original Sin, like a whisper, and all of a sudden Thor is not worthy of Mjolnir. And I know magic can be sometimes wonky and all that, but they've been pretty solid on how the stuff works. And then when you have Odin not being able to mess with Mjolnir in one shape or another, that really kind of irked me. Because this was a guy in Fear itself, when Thor was pissed at him and was going to smack him with said hammer because Odin was being, you know, jackass. All he did was go Mjolnir, drop, and it dropped, and Thor couldn't lift it because, you know, and Odin was like, "Yep, Odin giveth, Odin taketh away," you know, kind of in that way, and it just. I know it's going to be part of the storyline as we find out who, what, and where on all this. But as a longtime Thor fan, it just some of it just strikes me wrong. And then am I not the only one who was getting a Scarlet Witch vibe when you saw the lady said there always must be a Thor, you know, the shadow? It just, which I know it's not going to be Scarlet Witch, but, you know, it just... I was like, okay, and if she says no more mutants after that, I'm going to be like, okay. And Malkolith, I will say this, I'm not a big fan of Malkolith. That was one of the few things about Simonson's run that I didn't like. And, you know, it just was just, but that's just how it is. Seeing Thor with the axe and going down and just going to go all kick ass on him and then winds up losing his arm, I was like, ouch. And I know they're going to run Thor through the gauntlet before he can be worthy again. And we'll see how this new female is. I have a feeling it's probably Valkyrie or someone like that, but we'll find out.
If it's Freya, I'm going to shit myself.
If it's Freya, I'm going to be like, really? That was like, kind of what I'm thinking.
I'm still holding out hope it's one of Thor's granddaughters from the future, because that would make me feel so happy.
Yeah, it would be kind of funny, you know, it's just like, oh, that's the time, yeah, I need to go in there and do it. And it would.
I'm going to show Granddad just what I can do.
Yeah, you know? It'll be a perfect tie-in to the you know, the God Butcher. And
yeah, absolutely.
And it would be, and I give Jason Aaron credit on that. But it just, I don't know. I probably won't go more than maybe another two issues on this just to see how it goes. And that's saying something, considering Thor is probably one of my all-time, you know, favorite characters. And again, it has nothing to do with being a woman holding the hammer and all that, because I mentioned that, and I had someone on Facebook goes, oh, you're just a... And I'm like, no, I'm not. I remember...
Thor, you like what you like, and that's fine.
I'm like, I've seen Thor as a woman before. You know, they had, you know, Thor, well, Thoreen, Thor Girl, you want to call it, during Dan Jurgens' run. I've seen, like I said, Storm holding the hammer. I've seen, you know, it just, I'm not saying it's just, it's not that. It's just, it was just like, really? But like I said, I'll give it, see how it goes. I did like the one thing that Volstagg was like, yeah, for some reason, I don't know why the hammer wouldn't lift up for me, you know, knowing that I'm, you know, it was, you know, the humor. And you know, he was like, he just wouldn't.
Well, why can't it be Volstagg? Why can't we have a morbidly obese Thor?
The thing is, it is Volstagg, just a very firmly shaped Volstagg.
Yeah.
This is who I am on the inside. Can't you just accept that?
It's
the inside that counts.
I eat because I'm in pain, and I'm in pain because I eat.
I want to be a woman. Whoa, buddy.
Yeah.
Easy.
But I will give it, I'll give it a 3.0 simply because of the art. And the writing felt a little off to me, but that's not meaning anything, because I've only read the first two trades of Thor proper with Jason Aaron, which was God Butcher and God Ball, which I will say best story arc for Thor I've seen probably since Simonson's run.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Really good.
Art was
back
good.
When Johnny V was on this show, we would rave about that.
Uh-huh.
Time.
And right
I read
now
it too, jackasses.
We know. We're not leaving you out.
I just read it in trade later.
Yep, that's
well,
what I did.
Well, fuck you then, because we read it as it happened. We watched the legend unfold.
But Jason Aaron's writing is just a little bit flat this time out right now, but it happens. And I'm not going to give him shit for it other than I'm just, again, the two major things I'm having against it is Odin being unable to mess with the hammer and, you know, what made Thor all of a sudden unworthy, you know? And it just, we'll just have to see. I have a feeling it's going to involve Freya and Loki in some form or another. But I'll leave it at that. And we'll go from there.
All right. B-Rai, what do you think of going number one?
I thought it was an entertaining read. Sets up some interesting stuff. And, of course, Jason Aaron can really do no wrong by me, so there's that. Russell Dowderman was definitely the all-star of this book. I mean, without a doubt. His art, especially that last page, was just phenomenal. We need to see more of this guy in more mainstream stuff because fucking Cyclops isn't going to be getting any steam anytime soon. Sorry, Wes, but that's just the way it is. You're going to have to accept that. So this book is, while not terribly earth-shattering in its wake, I mean, the whole Malekith thing will unfold as it does. This issue was really, it felt more to me like, it felt more like, I hate saying it, but it felt more like a transition issue where they're just setting up stuff that will come happen later. So while that's all well and good, I'm really excited for what's going to come next. And this issue felt kind of like a lull for me. I'll give it a 3 out of 5. Real solid read. Most of that comes from Russell Dowderman's art, but it's just, it didn't have anything that really jumped out and grabbed me, you know? So there's that. And that's all I have to say about that.
So I'm on the fence, and I know before I pass it on to John for individual reviews, but I'm on the fence on trade weight or ongoing. I would like to read a Thor ongoing, and if it's female led, it's gonna be stronger. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm gonna be on the fence. I'll probably go ahead and purchase the next issue, and then after that, depending on how it pisses me off or not pisses me off, I might go the taser route on
well,
the third one.
I think
one.
Would have been a lot better at this, before we move on is that, like, I wanted more female Thor. I wanted I figured they would have hit the ground running, but no, we got to do exposition.
Got to do the tease and, you know, get everybody so that we can get the first issue sales.
Got the eyes, I think that's it. Yeah. And I guess, which says that Thor's going to play a factor in this book somehow. Which, you know,
he's still Thor, damn it.
No, I know that, but it's the
he's
fact that
he's not nameless.
No, I know that. I know that. But to me, when you're showcasing his character, I'd rather her get all the spotlight and let Thor have fun in Avengers and the Avengers books. Let him shine there.
How much fun are we having? But yeah, okay, I get that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know.
And I think that's the other thing that I also found it a bit of a problem is like Thor has always been Thor, even without the hammer.
Well, he's still Thor. He's just
Well, they're making him weaker. And strength.
I mean, and he's weaker compared to what he can do with the hammer, I think. They've done that before. I've seen them. They did that in the movie where he was stripped of his power and he couldn't.
Yeah.
Like, he could handle himself, but he's clearly not the god that we know. So, I mean, that's just what they're doing.
It's a wait and see for me, but I will give
look,
a second.
Look, all he has to do is just go inside a hyperbolic time chamber, train for one year, and he'll come back better than ever. He'll be fine.
Oh, dear God.
He'll be fine. All right, so, John, since you want to feel all patriotic and shit, it's time for you to review the last issue of Captain America starring Steve Rogers for the foreseeable future. Take
it
away
it
with Cap number 25.
All right. Now I will be the first one to admit I have not been reading Remender's work on Cap here, and you know, other than the one issue that we did for Book of the Week about a couple of months ago, which it was a good issue, and I will try to pick this up in trade when I get the chance. Issue 25 is the last issue, and it's obviously written by Rick Remender, and I cannot believe the art is actually Carlos Pacheco with Stuart Immerman. It just didn't seem like Pacheco or Immerman.
Sorry to cut you in. No, you
oh, that's all right.
Pacheco did the bulk of the story. Immerman only did the last, right when the page after the person who becomes Captain America says Avengers Assemble, that only 4 or 5 pages, that is Immerman.
Well, I just was, I looked through, and I was looking through the art, and I realized it was Pacheco. I was like, okay, has he been taking lessons from Francis Manipal? Because it really looked a lot like Manipal doing the art, and which that's not a complaint. I like both artists. And it was just kind of a surprise to me.
You know what? But, I could see that. I didn't look at it, but I could definitely see it. Not necessarily as flashy.
It's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that.
No.
It just was very surprising to me. This basically is the where we see the Falcon has supposedly sacrificed himself to save New York from Zola's, you know, wondrous attempt from Dimension X or Dimension Z to invade New York, and looks like he's dead. Everybody's talking about how he's, you know, he's like, oh, he did this, and then finally Falcon is like, you know, maybe if people would realize that, you know, I was the one who went to Tony Stark to get my wings, you know, made with vibranium alloy to help absorb most of the blast, you know. And then Tony speaks up and goes, yeah, and that's why we should say maybe I'm the one that saved the day, you know, as, you know, a bit of humor. And we see that Zola is talking to Jet and saying that they're not going to trust you. They're going to think you're a traitor, and why don't you come with me because this world is going to end because Red Skull has made his move. There's not much, you know, the world is not long for existence. And she's like, no, Father, you're wrong, and they'll prove you wrong and all that. And then you see, and then obviously this happens before Thor, you know, loses his hammer, because we see Thor holding hammer and
this happens all before that.
And, you know,
continuity. Which is odd, because Cap is old, and Cap, yeah, it's weird where it gets played.
Yeah, their continuity is kind of screwball. It's like, oh, gee, they're taking lessons from DC.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, I know, I'm teasing. But it's minor quibbles. I mean, I'm not going to be like these people that want to throw a fit about everything. But you see both Sharon Carter. I apologize. And she's obviously aged a little bit, and she's talking to Steve, and they're all standing over, you know, Falcon, and then Falcon gets up and, you know, obviously doing well. And then Jed comes up and goes, you're alive. And then Sharon goes, we're all alive, no thanks to you.
Oh, the biggest complaint I had about this issue.
And completely, you know, making her, and then they basically, you know, piss her off, and she's like, you know what, Daddy was right about you. Well, and disappears back to with Zola.
Well, it also alludes the fact that Sharon basically tells him, like, the only reason Zola was able to successfully commit this little farce invasion was because of Jet.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just, but she apparently was allied herself with him because of, you know, Sam, and
She's fallen in love with Sam, and she's kind of sees the point of fighting for justice in a way.
Yeah,
Steve, but then rubbed off on her, and not in that way.
Yeah,
Sam did though.
Oh yeah,
hey-o.
But it ends with all that, and with Sam saying, "Oh, you know, it's gonna be they played us all. They both have. I know it's hard to believe." And Sam's like, "Yeah, you don't know the half of it." And then goes 1 week later, and you see Sunfire, who's obviously looking more like his Age of Apocalypse outfit, which I don't know why.
Well, because he has celestial powers now because of him and Havoc's fight with Kang in outer space in the backup of a celestial. So.
Nice little tie-in with Uncanny Avengers, which I have not unfortunately read since the first, you know, after the second story arc. Mm-hmm. A crime that I have got to correct myself on. And Rogue's with them. And then he's like, surely there are better uses of our time than this. And then Rogue's like, just the advantages of being Captain America, Sunfire. Steve says jump. Everyone asks how high. Yeah, and you got all of the Avengers.
Can I ask you something about this panel?
Yeah.
Did you notice Batman?
No, I did not.
Look in the panel between Hercules, Daredevil, and Luke Cage. Right behind Daredevil is Batman.
Okay, now. Let's see here. Is this
that double page spread with all the Avengers around the Avengers symbol?
Look. Oh, that was cute. Yeah,
that's
Batman.
At first I thought, no, that's Black Panther. Then you're like, there's Black Panther right there. That's Batman in the corner.
That's cute.
Batman.
I did not notice that. That just shows you how blind I am.
Neither did I. Somebody pointed it out on Twitter, and I looked. I'm like, holy shit, that is Batman.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Harkens back to the day when they used to do cameos on both sides. You'd see Clark Kent and Lois Lane doing, you know, press conferences in the Marvel, in New York, and I think you'd see Peter Parker, quote unquote, in
Metropolis.
Yeah, and that kind of thing. But they're all talking. It's like, and then they're giving the witty banter between each other, and they're all having jokes. They're joking about how the Beast, ate all the chimichangas and the pizza rolls, and then Spidey goes, "I think it was the Vision." And the Vision goes, "Many chimichangas do not agree with me. They emerge much like fire and gas." And you're just like, and Scarlet Witch goes, "It's terrible gas. It's why we broke up. You're kidding, right? Is that a joke?" And he's like, "Do you think if you hold a copyright on capering antics?" And I laughed at that. I loved that.
That was funny.
And of course, you have Steve come out, and they're doing this whole thing.
That must be awkward then for have to show to see each other all the time, though.
Yeah.
To see your ex-wife or your ex-husband.
Especially when she's banging the guy who your brain patterns are based off of.
Yeah.
And that's a whole thing. I was like, oh, Busiek, you just had to do that, didn't you? And it just, that goes back to some good run. But everybody's here and Steve's like, going, okay. Anyway, bad jokes aside, the hard truth, he was like, "I'm taking, because I can't no longer serve as Captain America, I'm taking on a new title. Henceforth, I will be known as General Geriatric."
I laughed. Nothing?
Yeah, I laughed too. I was like, nothing? Somebody wanted to make fun of that joke, take the heat off of me? Iron Man's like, that was really bad, Steve. He's like, okay, bad jokes aside, the hard truth is I can't be this, but I can't fight on the field any longer, but I can still lead and plan to. Once an Avenger, always an Avenger. So, I'm going to still be doing it, off to the side.
He's basically becoming Oracle.
Uh-huh. And that's still a good job for him. Because, with all his experience and stuff, he'll make a hell of a...
His pills and...
Yeah.
Starting this spring, Captain America, General Geriatric. Does he remember to take his medicine?
And does he take Viagra, too, you know?
Oh!
I had to say.
He probably has to. Look how young Sharon is.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, she's not that much younger than he is. She still is, but
yeah,
not as old, but still. But it finally goes, okay, well, it's let me make it all official. I called you here to introduce you to my replacement, a man with whom I love with all my heart. And Avengers, allow me to introduce you to your new Captain America. And it's Falcon.
Hey, who saw that coming?
Yeah, and Falcon was like, "You guys all knew it was me, didn't you?" There's literally no drama left in this reveal. I think that was a nice little...
Yeah, meta commentary.
Yeah. Meta commentary, yeah. And I will say this, all the bitching and stuff that people had been making about, there being a new Captain America and all that, my only complaint on that whole thing was that, we just had a new one not too long ago, a few years ago with Bucky. But you know what? Aside from Bucky, if there was one man that I could see doing the legacy of Captain America, is Sam Wilson.
Good hero.
Yeah, because he's been there, through some of the thick and thin with, with Steve, just like James Rhodes with Tony, if there's a guy that can replace Tony as Iron Man, it would be James Rhodes, and it has nothing
probably
to do with him being
job.
Yep. Well, I had a guy who made a joke about it. So, oh great, now we got Captain Africa, and I went, no, that's Black Panther, and if you call Black Panther Captain Africa, be prepared to get your ass whooped. But then he's like, yeah, you can't do obviously got to have the shield. And he says, "Thank you, Steve." And he has obviously said, couldn't be in better hands. He's like, "Well, I'm not for speeches. Never have been anyway." And Thor's like, "Aye." Then enough speaking. And Wasp is like, "Okay, just give them what they want." And does the, "All right, let's give it a whirl. Avengers assemble." And, ends the series and continues into the new Captain number one. But it's not the end of the issue. We go to epilogue Castle Hydra. And some new mysterious operative that goes to this council, I'm not sure who the redhead is, because I'm not familiar with her. I know it's not, Viper, Lady Viper or anything, but she's pretty hot looking, at least with the way she's drawn.
If I'm right, I know who she is.
They said they call her Madam Worm. I'm not sure who that is.
I know who she is then. And I'll explain to that when you introduce the second new character.
Oh yeah, we see all this group, basically doing Hail Hydra, and they're all around this, and they're saying that Sam's not gonna, I've known Sam for years, and I don't think he's gonna be yada yada. And then that you see this at the end of it, you see a lady called Chancellor Cassandra, and this guy who's like gray and wearing a long black trench coat called the Drain. And which that sounds really bad. Thus it ends for the new Captain America. And I will say this, the only complaint I will have is if he's going to be Cap, he needs to be Cap, not, a hybrid of being Falcon and Cap, but that's just me. Otherwise, I like the costume. That way he shows that he's a different Captain America and he's not, just wearing the same outfit and blah, blah, blah. And I'm looking forward to this. I will pick up Cap number one just to see how this goes. I love the art.
Are they renumbering the books?
Again? Yeah. It's called Captain America.
Okay. I didn't know they were renumbering the books.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it kind of fits here because it's a new character taking over the mantle.
That's fair. Yeah. I can see that. Sounds like Daredevil. That was pointless.
Yeah, that's just, yeah. That, yeah,
well, he was moving to San Francisco.
Yeah, but,
yeah, but it was the same character, same supporting character, same all-around universe. Nothing really changed. The only thing that changed was the setting.
That's changing.
I will say this. I'll be looking forward to it simply because it's going to have Stuart Immerman on the art. That right there is a plus for me. Ooh. I love his art. I give this issue, I will give it a solid 4.0 out of 5, just a straight read. I'll probably give it higher once I get to read the trades, catch up and see how it goes. And there you go. I think it was a good one. I won't say I'm on board per se, but I will be checking out the next issue. And I will, because I love Sam Wilson. He's been one of my favorite. I'm not going to say B characters because he's not a B character.
Not anymore. He's on Broadway now.
No. He's a B plus player.
Yes.
Wilson not being Captain America. This is a Hydra agent. Sam Wilson not being Captain America is best for business.
Sounds like you're going to break into Sam Wilson doing Metal Gear.
That's what I was saying. Metal Gear.
I almost did.
I know. But yeah, there goes my review. And
the new Captain America is Solid Snake.
Oh, jeez. That's a visual.
Chainsmoking motherfucker. All right. So for those of you, just before John, the Drain and the Worm, if you don't know who they are and you kind of want to like read up on them, they look interesting. Well, they were both in Remender's Winter Soldier miniseries he did.
Who were they in that?
The Drain and the Worm. The Drain has a bigger role than the Worm does. She's only in it like the first issue and she's gone.
That's right. I forgot about her because I only read the first two issues.
Yeah, and then the Drain is basically the villain of that miniseries and he's pretty cool. So I got a little excited like, ooh, I know who those people are and they're going to be foils for Sam. Awesome. Now,
smoking hot redheads. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, wait till she. I don't want to spoil what she does, but wait till you see what she does.
Oh boy.
Yum, yum. Eat them up.
So, this is not my review, but I want to mention this because did any of y'all read or look at Bucky, the Winter Soldier, the new ongoing?
No, I'm not touching that title.
Okay. Don't read it, but go look at it. Y'all remember Marcus Rudy, right? The artist Marcus Rudy.
I think so, yeah.
I don't know what he did, but what he did in that book is so drastically different than what he's done before. I didn't know it was the same guy. It doesn't look like it's the same guy. To put it in one word, it's the most abstract and esoteric I've ever seen of Marco Rudy's art. It's trippy. It's very trippy and interesting. Go flip through it.
It's trippy to Rocco, round to Rocco. Like, anyway.
Go. Just go. I encourage you to at least flip through the new, maybe not read it, or if you want to buy it, buy it. But at least flip through the art and just see it. Like, and you're going to ask yourself, same guy? And you judge for yourself if it's good or not. So, since we're going to, you know what? I'm going to review Uncanny Avengers number 25, the 25th issue, also the 25th issue of a Remender book. This is the second part of the continue to March to Axis storyline, and holy crap, Brian, shit got intense for real.
Shit got biblical in the sense that murder with a rock happened. People.
Yeah, so basically, the Red Skull has captured some of the Uncanny Avengers, Havoc, Rogue, and Scarlet Witch, under the maniac of the craziness of the Red Skull. By the way, Daniel Acuña draws a terrifying Red Skull. Like, legit scary. Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Daniel Acuña, per se, but
Oh, I am.
Yeah. Holy crap.
I love his art. And it's opening up with basically Red Skull making Magneto his bitch. Until Magneto finally gets the upper hand, basically a fight ensues. And basically most of the story is told the perspective of the Scarlet Witch and her history with her father and what she wanted, what her father is, what she sees in her father. And we learn what Xavier has been. Okay, that panel, are those random mutants that he has right there when they crash into that building?
Oh.
Because I thought they were all, like, they kind of look like, it looks like their head is opened up. So I'm not sure if they're, I think they're just random mutants.
I don't think anybody was of note. Hang on, let me take a second look just to be certain.
No, I was because like to me, I thought like, are those multiple Charles Xavier's? What the fuck? Because it was a little hard to tell, but I think they're just mutants. That.
Yeah, I don't see anything identifying them.
So. Yeah, and Ahab reiterates his history with Rogue from an alternate universe. I can't remember exactly what that was, and Magneto. Basically calls him the devil himself as he's being called monster. And it Magneto, this is the first time we've seen Magneto unleash in a good while. This is just like he's not nearly as powerful, but he's straight up old school Magneto. And
and you can see when Wanda realizes it too. She's like, oh shit, dad's back.
Yeah. And
himself. Yeah. Like, holy shit.
And Red Skull basically, and of course Magneto, we all know his origin. He was tortured by the Nazis, and Red Skull is the poster boy for the Nazis, more so than Hitler in the Marvel Universe. So, you know, this is basically ultimate payback time for both mutants, both what he's done to mutants and what he did to the Jews back when he was a kid. And of course Havoc's trying to warn Magneto that Xavier could still be alive, which we saw in the last issue that Xavier's consciousness was still around and that he knows
there were pockets of it left.
Yeah,
in the mind of Red Skull.
Yeah, exactly. He's technically dead, but the consciousness, because his brain is so powerful. And Magneto decides, look, I'm going to eliminate. You'll die pure, no magnetism, just fists, and just begins pounding on him. Bam, bam, bam,
eating
bam.
Shit out of him.
Apparently, I forgot that was a mask he was wearing.
Yeah.
Of a body. I don't know where he got the body from. Until finally, he delivers the ultimate blow of getting a ton of a stack of bricks, and throwing it right on top of Skull's head, effectively killing him.
Yeah. Not effectively.
No.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely killing him. You know, sort of just like, you know. And they're all like mad. I'm like, well, he killed Evil Incarnate. I only saved the world. He can thank me at least. But just in time for Halloween and in a sort of scary horror movie twist, Red Skull is not dead. But it turns out Magneto did not kill Evil Incarnate. He unleashed an onslaught of it.
Get it?
Red Skull.
Because he's Onslaught now.
Yeah. And no. Holy crap, that last page of Daniel Acuña's rendering of Red Onslaught, basically. Magneto done fucked up now, man. It's all Magneto's fault. God.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I don't blame him because he didn't know. You know, there's no way he could have known.
But like we were saying before the podcast, there's going to be an Avengers meeting, and Tony Stark's just going to be there, and he's going to be, okay, who unleashed Onslaught?
Magneto's in the corner. Magneto, what did you do?
Nothing.
Look. What had happened was I was trying to kill Evil Incarnate, but I unleashed an onslaught.
He uses those exact words.
And then he cripples Tony Stark because he's iron. He's made of iron. Or whatever.
No, he has precautions for that.
Probably. Because Iron Man's apparently fucking Batman now. Thus, beginning the Axis event. So I'm assuming once Axis starts, Red Skull's already going to be Onslaught, and shit's going to get weird, apparently. Because I've heard read things where it kind of ruins the first act, but... What can you do? But
it's the internet, people. Shit happens.
Yeah, as a single individual issue, it was damn entertaining and a bit. Like, this is the first time we've seen Magneto just sort of become this primal, at least in a while, this primal rage kind of character.
Yeah.
So
this is him sliding back into who he was before ever joining the X-Men. This is like full on.
Yeah, and you know, I legitimately thought like, well, what the hell? The event starts next week. What's going on? Oh, nope, he's alive. This is kind of why I hate solicits, because like, if you were a comic reader, you know, and you didn't read solicits, you were like, holy shit, Red Skull's dead. Magneto, the world, you know, that's the only thing, but that's not Remender's fault, you know. I give it a 5 out of 5. Another fucking amazing issue, and god damn it. How the hell are they going to stop this guy? You know? And more question is, how the fuck did he become Onslaught? That's my question.
No fucking idea, man.
Maybe we'll find out. But needless to say, if you're curious, next week we will be discussing Avengers vs. X-Men as the... Not Avengers vs. X-Men! Axis number one will be our... We're going back to the future! We're not retreading that. I'm not calling it Avengers and X-Men Axis. It's called Axis as far as I'm concerned. We will be reviewing Axis as a book of the week, so in case you're curious. Brian, take it away. Wrap it up. Let's do this.
All right, folks. We're about to get deader with Death of Wolverine numero tres. And where we last left off, Lady Deathstrike was about to kill Wolverine to help buy her some time, and Kitty Pryde showed up. In Madripoor, just, you know, out of nowhere. Oh, by the way, little fun fact. This chapter is called Seppuku, so, yeah, fun. Anyway, so we find out that Lord Ogun, an old-school Wolverine foe, has been hunting down Lady Deathstrike and Wolverine, and that because she realizes he no longer has a healing factor, she can take him and give him to Lord Ogun to spare herself. Kitty shows up to prevent that, and what ensues is a little bit of a fight where Kitty hands her ass, or more rather, her hand, because what happens is she phases her hand through Lady Deathstrike's hand and then rephases and breaks it in half. Her hand literally is in half. And she's given leave to just run off after Logan collapses from exhaustion, his injuries and stuff. And it turns out Kitty Pryde has a little something-something on her, a little needle, going a little cloak and dagger here. But she shoots him up, and it's regen serum. Not as good as your healing factor, but it'll patch you up just fine. And so Kitty shows up, and she says she got word from Logan back in the first issue of the miniseries. He had called her. That was who he was talking to. It wasn't revealed initially in the first issue, but now that she knows that Lord Ogun's in play and that she has a history with him too, as much as Wolverine, they decide to go after him together. And so they go to Tokyo to track him down. And they're just kind of biding time until they figure out what their next move is. But right as they're about to go and try and track him down, Kitty Pryde pulls him in and plants one on him, full on the lips. And Logan draws back like, whoa, we've never been like that. What is going on? And, of course, she's like, I love you. I've always had. Am I not good enough for you? Not pretty? And then you slowly start to see the maliciousness creep in where it's not as good as Jean or Rose or Mariko or any of the others. All those dead women, Logan. And that's when it clicks that she's being possessed by Lord Ogun, who has tracked Wolverine to Madripoor and now brought him to Japan. And, well, what ensues is a pretty sweet hand-to-hand fight. I'll give it that. It was beautifully illustrated, too. It's all among, like, the cherry blossoms and stuff, and it's just fucking pretty to look at, too. Steve McNiven does some of the best work I've seen here. It's really good looking. So they're fighting each other, and they crash into this old, I guess kind of a display hall, where Logan finds a suit of samurai armor and a pair of katana, and he takes it to Lord Ogun in the armor, wielding the swords. And what's great is that while he's fighting Lord Ogun, he's, you know, sort of taunting the guy who's saying that, you know, Kitty's in there fighting. I'm sure she is. She's stronger than you. She's going to break out eventually. Maybe you could have kept her under control, but now that you brought me into it and you're busy focusing on me, you're never going to be able to divide your attention by that much. And so that forces Lord Ogun to jump out because Kitty does, in fact, regain control and threatens to phase her own hand through her own head. So, yeah. And as that happens and Kitty comes back, she tells him that he's jumped, but she doesn't know where, and that now she has another name. And we learn through a series of events that it isn't actually Lord Ogun calling the shots on this one, just like it wasn't Viper calling the shots on this one. Instead, there's another guy calling the shots. Abraham Cornelius. You know who that is, Iggy?
Forgive me, I do not know, or I cannot remember.
He is a scientist who worked with Weapon X.
Is he the guy who gave Wolverine his adamantium skeleton?
In part, yes. He is the man who created Wolverine.
Stryker? Oh, wait, that's the movie continuity.
Yeah, we don't talk about that. But yes, so turns out it's actually Abraham Cornelius calling the shot, and that he's employed Lord Ogun and Viper and Nuke, and all these other people have been subcontracted and subcontracted to the point where it's like a shell game. You don't know who's calling the shots, but now we do. With this new information, Logan goes to chase down Lord Ogun and hopefully get some more information out of him, tracks him to an abandoned warehouse where he finds the guy, the supervillain Cyber, dissolving in a lie pit or something akin to that. He's basically being eroded. He's dead. Cyber is dead. Sorry if you liked him. Yeah. Lord Ogun shows up and says that he's been working for Cornelius because he's something of a collector now. And he basically is just, he's collecting any source of adamantium he can get his hands on. Cyber's skin, certain Japanese swords, among other things. A statue of the Hulk that was forged from adamantium at one point. Lady Deathstrike, Wolverine. These are all sources of adamantium that he wants for himself. And Wolverine's like, so that's why he's doing all this. He wants my skeleton. And Ogun says that, no, he doesn't want you right away anyway. He's killed hundreds and he's killed thousands more, but not you. He wants you alive for the time being, for whatever reason. Lord Ogun still doesn't know. However, he does tell Wolverine that he could find him in a desert in Nevada at a place called Paradise Valley, and that is where he will ultimately find the guy. And Lord Ogun sort of buys his way out of a confrontation with Logan by threatening to take the meat suit that he is in of the innocent guy he's possessed and jump into the same pit that's dissolving Cyber. And so Logan says, you know what, fine, I'll leave. And Ogun promises to leave the guy unharmed, but we'll see where that goes. And as part of the deal, he even asks that he'll throw in the regen syringes that he still has on him, the stuff that will give Wolverine a bit more of a healing kick should he need it. And I love what he says in response to. Wolverine looks him in the eye and goes, keep him. I'm done living forever. But tell Cornelius something from me. Make sure he knows I'm coming. And that is the conclusion of issue number 3.
I cannot wait for my hardcover.
It's something else. If nothing else, it is a damn pretty.
By the way, fuck you, Hypo, for posting that scene out of context.
Yeah, Yeah, like, that was ill-advised.
Like, really? Of course it's going to get people talking.
Although, I think he was confused because he posted asking what it was, or at least sort of asking.
No, the fuck? That you're asking for out-of-context kind of things.
It's
like, I flipped through it and I went, wait, what? But then I read it and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it turns out it's Lord Ogun who's kissing Wolverines. I don't know if that's better or worse.
Yeah, do you think that's real, though? Do you think Kitty ever felt it? She must have at some point.
I don't think so. And if she ever had, it's well been passed by now.
Yeah,
I
mean, she's on the big... Isn't she... She's not dating anybody. No, she's cyber dating? Virtual? Space dating Peter Quill.
Yeah, they have a long-distance relationship thing going on, so, you know. But you can just tell that McNiven is having fun with this book. I mean, the scene where he's dueling Kitty in Japan alone is worth the price of the page. Just to see...
McNiven's pencils are as tight as ever.
God. The color and the contrast between just the cherry blossoms and the serene place they're resting at and Kitty and Wolverine. It's a beautifully illustrated scene. It's well worth the price of the issue. But just in case you needed more convincing... Charles Soule does an amazing job of writing this issue. He keeps calling back to all this old Wolverine stuff, taking us back further and further, and it's all coming to a head, and it really feels like this is building towards something where Wolverine won't be walking out of it alive. So it really is a really good issue. I quite enjoyed it. Although, by that same token, it felt a bit lighter than the previous two issues as far as story material goes. I mean, the stuff with Ogun was great, and again, it's building towards something incredible, I'm sure, but it just, compared to the last two issues, it felt like not a lot happened. And that is sort of like the one downfall of this issue, that it didn't really have a lot going on. At least, not from my perspective. I could be entirely wrong. Someone else could pick up this issue and say that all the most has happened in this issue since the beginning, but... that's the benefit of me being on this podcast and you not being on this podcast. I can say what I want. Fuck you. See? Look what I just said. I said, fuck you. No. So, like I said, great, great issue. Not as stellar as the previous two, but I enjoyed it nonetheless.
I'll give it a 4 out of 5. Who do you think gets the final kill on Logan?
Honestly?
What do you think? I mean, the players are all there, apparently, so...
Yeah, I mean, well, it's almost funny because the way it's happened, every single person you'd expect to kill Wolverine has been chased off or has walked away.
It's going to be Omega Red. Watch. It's gonna be Omega Red.
Oh God, I hope not.
It's gonna be. It's.
That's the last. This
is gonna be his big comeback.
No, it's not.
I don't think they actually can use him because of a license agreement with Jim Lee, probably.
Ugh, whatever. Possibly. I really don't care. Omega Red sucks.
Shut up, Omega Red.
He does.
No, he's not. He's cool.
No, he's not cool. He's awful.
I'm surprised. Even though I'm surprised Omega Red has not made his presence known, considering doesn't he have a history of Wolverine?
I don't know.
I think he does. I'm just saying, it would have been cool to see Omega Red. Oh, well.
Yeah.
So that does it for this show, because Brian was the deadpan.
Hold on, let me give him the old razzle-dazzle. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, so that concludes for this show. Again, next week, if you want to read along with us, our main book will be Avengers and Axis number 1, as I'm going to call it by its proper title. The Red Onslaught begins, ladies and gentlemen.
She's going down.
Yeah, so look for more. I don't have any. Oh, also, in case you missed it, I don't think I believe it said it last time, but Mr. Dragon and I over at the Marlosigi at marlosigi.wordpress.com have officially kicked off our Halloween review month, which basically a lot of, you know, every single week you're getting at least two Halloween-themed video reviews. Dragon kicked us off last week with a review of The Last of Us, the critically acclaimed PlayStation 3, not PlayStation 4, darling. And so this week, Dragon, I will tell you what it is. Dragon's review of Dead Space. The original Dead Space will be up by Wednesday, and this Friday will be my first up-to-bat with the sequel to Luigi's Mansion, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. So there you have it. There you go. Please check this out at marvelseeker.com, and also look for new RPG podcasts dedicated on Halloween stuff and other things. Brian, you have anything to say?
Yes. If you're in the New York area, please keep an eye out for a big black man. He answers to Taser. He's a real dear part of our family, and we need to track him down. So please, if you
You
see
putting
him,
Amber Alert out on Taser?
yes, please call us at 555-867-5309 and tell us if you've seen Taser. I'd really appreciate it. He's a beloved part of our family. He loves having his belly scratched, usually by pretty women, and he also likes burritos. So if you got burritos and you're pretty, please try and track him down for us. We would greatly appreciate the return of our friend. Thank you.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you all next week for episode number 182.
You must be swift at the coursing radar, with all the force of a great typhoon, with all the strength of raging fire, mysterious as the dark side of the moon. You must be swift as a coursing river, with all the force of a great typhoon, with all the strength of a raging fire, mysterious as the dark side of the moon.